Thank you very much. Good morning at this very hot and sunny day in Nuremberg. My name is Michael Kromer. I'm from Gromonio, hard to find. I'm here to talk about the world of Gromonio in combination with OpenSUSE. We have more in common than you think. Many of you who already know Gromonio will know that our main appliance is based on OpenSUSE. And that is a decision that some question, but the majority, when they understand what's behind it, love it. I want to show today how we did this type of integration, how we built the appliance that is still the leading vehicle. And yes, we do have Docker containers. Yes, you can run us on Kubernetes, all that is possible. But you need something nowadays for, in terms of digital sovereignty, not only for, you know, the superscalers that want to run 100,000, millions of users even. You need something that, you know, the German Mittelstand, or simply put, small and medium business sizes, can operate without hassle. And I mean operate in the sense of, you know, update, maintain, and, you know, just get started with it. So what is mostly not perceived is that communication is at the core of every network. I mean, look around, you will have some sort of a mail server. Where do you use a Dovecot? Where do you use a Microsoft Exchange? Where do you use Microsoft 365? There are multiple solutions out there in the world, and the market is clearly dominated by the closed source and proprietary suppliers in the world. And it's not the case because their solutions are so evil and bad and whatsoever. I mean, you can have a different type of interpretation based on evil. But long story short, you want something with choice. But choice is not just, I want to have something open source. A real choice means that you can choose something that your majority of users, and not everyone unfortunately is a Linux user, can operate and work well with your product. So, long story short, the calendar invite is the infrastructure. You will all have your calendar invites, whether it is even in private or in, you know, business. It's quite obvious. Everyone, unfortunately, has meetings and needs to, you know, plan the day through. You have emails, you have calendars, you have tasks, you have notes. You have all of this groupware pattern all over the world. And you only recognize that it's not working when it stops working, right? I mean, then all hell breaks loose. People kind of work, people kind of plan, people kind of organize. So you need something that is just simply as robust as it gets. Think of it like a PBX, a phone-based voice or IP, whatever system. You know, you just simply expect it to work. And that's one of the things that you also expect from a groupware system. So you need a solid foundation. If it leaks, personal and business data leak, and we're talking here about all kinds of business contracts. Just think about what you transport via email. It's astonishingly and incredible what you transfer there. And of course, if you get locked in by a proprietary vendor, you end up with your data in a silo. Means you only can interface based on the APIs that supplier provides. And switching is very hard. That said, when you want to make a product, you have to make certain key aspects important. I talked now a little bit about the user world, but admins exist too, right? Most of people here, I would assume, are admins. So we need to operate that stuff. And mail, in general, everything that surrounds mail, we're talking about decades of standards, right? IMAP 4 Rev 2 is let's say one of the more modern ones, which we, by the way, will support from the next Tuesday on in its entirety. So we already supported a subset, but its entirety is supported from next Tuesday on with our big release coming up. Just check out the website. What I wanted to head to is that everything that you have to do in terms of making your product accessible is that people can approach it easily. And the soft skills that every product has to have to be stable, you know, to have to be updatable, to have a life cycle, all these things, they have to come from somewhere. We are a software vendor just as SUSE is, and Open SUSE as a community project, which we also run. I mean, Gromunia is a full community-backed project. We do have our software cycles, we do have our quality cycles, we do have our community, which, you know, send in pull requests, merge requests, et cetera, et cetera. And we have to provide that as a product, being something that you can organize, that you can deploy, that you can manage. So you need to have something that you can roll out fast. You need to have something that, you know, just make sure that the clients continue to work. And you have to make sure that everything in terms of infrastructure is compatible. So you don't want to choose something that says, oh, I need Windows. Unfortunately, many do, because they say, I need Microsoft Exchange on-prem. There you need Microsoft, Windows, obviously. You need an Active Directory. For example, we can interoperate with Active Directory, but we don't care. You could also use an OpenLDAP or a 389DS or whatever. So these are the infrastructural parts that our product offers, but what's below is what matters too. We do need to have a platform, and when we're talking here about true digital sovereignty, you do need to have a platform that is completely inspectable. So we're open source, 100% open source. We're not even open core. So we're going to the extreme as a business vendor, because traditionally, I mean, for an open source product like OpenSUSE, it's obviously 100% open source. But for a business application, it's not the norm. And we decided to go that way nonetheless. That's why you can inspect every line of code, every build instruction, everything that we do. You can operate it everywhere where you like to. This thanks to the help of OpenSUSE. And yes, spoiler alert, we do provide for Debian and other platforms too. But we are in love with SUSE, mainly because we do have also SUSE ambassadors within our team. People like Jan Engelhardt, for example, who's right, really literally everywhere in the open SUSE code base and packaging. Just, you know, Google him. And me for myself and other colleagues as well. So we know SUSE really, really well, right? Then we need something that has a clear update lifecycle. I mean, we're a business application vendor. A business application vendor to start, you know, patching, making sure that, you know, all CVEs are covered, etc. That's just unrealistic. And obviously, when we have the need to move somewhere, you know, as a container, as a VM, that should be provided as well. So it's not only the system being usable as an application, it needs to be maintained. So what does that mean in terms of our appliance? We do provide the source. We do provide the packages. Based on the packages, I mean, you all know it. Whoever operates with, you know, RPM spec knows how they look like. The RPM spec, we have three channels. We have a master. We have, which is essentially our developer build. We do have a community build, and we have a supported build. Obviously, dev is for developers. Master is for the community, which has automated tests behind it, but just, you know, not that all kinds of labor that you put in. It's a little bit like this OpenSUSE versus SUSE Linux Enterprise story. When we built these packages and they went through CI and everything, they end up in our repositories. And these repositories are then mirrored on download.gromunia.com. And from these repositories, again, we built our images. The images are standard Kivy images. Well, maybe not exactly standard. We have made quite some cool stuff in there. For example, our CUI, which is our console user interface, we call it. It's essentially, if you know VMware ESXi, they have a quite cool, you know, ncurses type based of, you know, welcome screen, and they walk you through. They allow you there to configure basic stuff like network configuration, and yeah. We do the same, so we have full network configuration. Now with the newest version, we are completely, we got rid of entirely everything in terms of YAST. So we're using systemd networkd. Yeah, and essentially when that image has been built, we do ship a subset of software within the appliance. So there's always a possibility to, you know, just run it out of the box. But we have an update procedure in there involved, just like SUSE has for its own deployment. You know, it already searches for online repositories, adds them, checks for updates, and ups them right away. We don't have this type of installer. We use Kiwi as that, and we use the OEM image type. And the OEM image type describes that you can flash it like a USB drive. And it boots up as a so-called hybrid ISO. This hybrid ISO is, you know, just a standard ISO that runs under UEFI and MBR. As soon as you fire it up, it will ask you, okay, I see these hard drives, where you want me to install it? It just flashes it on, initiates, it even does a live boot, so it doesn't even reboot there, thanks to awesome people at SUSE that just made Kiwi as awesome as you can think of. And it just live boots into it, starts CUI, and you're ready to go. I'm talking here about a process that takes, in the worst case, with really shitty hardware, sorry for that word, 5 minutes. And from 5 minutes on, you can get going. Set your password, do your domain, and so on and so on. So that's the point. You do your first boot, you have direct possibility for operations. You know, we're not talking a live boot here. It live booted into the system after it provisioned it. But you have persistent storage from there on. Yeah, not with, even no reboot involved. It's just pure awesomeness. You will not find that anywhere else. Debian preceding, yes, you're preceding, you're deploying and everything, it reboots, blah, bloom, okay, the system is there. If you really want something that is key to key, end to end, just deploy it, it's cool shit, sorry. It's just, maybe I'm over exaggerating here, but I'm in love with Kiwi. So, collaboration without giving up control, this is all the stuff that we provide, right? Emails, calendar, context, tasks, and we do have an admin interface. Right, and that admin interface, essentially, I talked now about this 5 minute time, right? This 5 minute to get it deployed. When you use containers, you can even be lower than that, right? Just fire up a container from OCI and you're good. But when you use whatever type of deployment you have, then you have to get into the nitty gritty stuff, right? You have to create domains, you have to create users. You have to attach some sort of an LDAP, you have to attach a Microsoft AD, whatever, right? You just need to do some configurational work. And it's not just there, because email specifically has certain, let's call it site technologies, that are nowadays really required to make your mail server really rock, right? I'm talking here about DKIM. I'm talking about Center Policy Framework. So DNS is a big, big part of the role that you have to do. And in our specific case, we do have native compatibility with the world's leading, still leading business client. And it will be for a foreseeable time, which is Microsoft Outlook. So Microsoft Outlook, on the other hand, needs AutoDiscover. We have AutoDiscover built in, but AutoDiscover has two parts. It's the one that you have the AutoDiscover service that you can request, which is basically a type of an XML exchange. So when you point to that service, it will give you the AutoDiscover information that your Microsoft Outlook or EAS, so mobile phone and so on, they all request that. But you have to find your way somewhere. So you need an AutoDiscover DNS record, right? And when you're having Thunderbird, for example, Thunderbird uses a different type of technology called AutoConfig, right? So AutoConfig is a little bit similar like to AutoDiscover. It's a bit simpler, but we also provide that. But still, you need to do all these DNS things. I can show in a brief demo later that you can just see how easy it is with our admin interface, because it literally tells you, and it even checks it live for you, the domains that you create, and it tells you, hey, you're missing the SRV record. Please check that. Oh, your MX is maybe wrong. Please check that. So we even assist in the game of, let's call it complex groupware stuff. We did some tests with, let's call it noobs, in that space. They basically know what a mail server is, but they've never created one themselves. If everything is like sort of prepared, you have an IP address, you have a domain that is available, right? You need something to play around with. A guy who was not involved into all the deep technology took about an hour to get started, to really have everything end to end. For a mail server, that's a record. When you count a Microsoft Exchange server, you're not even done installing the first system yet, right? So you're already done with, oh, I can now create users. I can now deploy stuff. That's what matters nowadays. So the serious alternative that we're providing is that we don't go by having a need, for example, on a Windows client for Microsoft Outlook compatibility to install any type of extra service or any type of packaged software, which essentially provides a MAPI provider. No, we don't do that. We speak Microsoft Exchange's protocols natively, no strings attached. Means MAPI HTTP, we speak it natively. Exchange ActiveSync, which every mobile phone does, we speak natively. Exchange Web Services, which is used by EM Client and others, we speak natively. IMAP and SMTP, with next week's release, IMAP 4 Rev 2. CalDAV and CardDAV, these are protocols that not even Microsoft Exchange speaks. So we believe in interoperability, we believe in openness, and we need a solid foundation for that. And that's where SUSE comes in. And that's where the key is. Administrators need a product, not a puzzle. Yeah. And when it comes to groupware, it very fast gets a puzzle. Because the groupware is so integrated in so many areas, right? Oh, I have a ticket system here. Oh, I have all kinds of business application logics that want to automatically access emails. You have room and conference systems, right? Hot tip, there's terminal that's spelled T-R-M-N-L, I think so. And this terminal was a Kickstarter project, which is quite cool. This is e-paper displays. We integrated that with Gramonio perfectly. You have your conference rooms. You just see, awesome. It just gets the data via EWS. It just works beautifully out of the box. We didn't have to craft anything. It just did its job. And stating that, we have day zero. We have a known image. We have a known package set. We have everything that is, something that an administrator can count on. No big surprises, right? There's other software out there in the world. You install it. The next time you install it 2 months later, it's completely different. And I'm talking also here, Exchange administrators, right? When, these interesting Microsoft Exchange exploits came out, where all of a sudden it was necessary to install a different IIS package for URL rewriting, everyone was like, is that real? I mean, this cannot be. Yeah, I need to get something from a completely different source and install it, because that is what the foundation is to mitigate a CVE that is critical in a 9-point area. Yeah, so we have absolute standard set. That's what KeyView provides us. Second thing is, and I'm talking here really by someone who's taking his time, right? We have environments and partners that install you a complete system in an hour and you're ready to go, right? So configure and ready, you have a setup wizard, you can look at the domains, you can do certificates, right? Certificates are very, very important. I'm talking here about publicly validated certificates, because SMTPs don't like it when they're talking with self-signed certificates, let's face it. So you have an admin account and you want to start your client's onboarding. Next aspect is we're completely, mandantenfähig is the German word. I hope you get what I mean. So multi-tenant, thank you very much, exactly. So we're multi-tenant capable. You can run multiple installations. We have lots of partners, I think over 350 in the world nowadays. They do have quite some hostings there as well. So they host for their customers, because sometimes customers just say, I don't want to host it myself. So partners do it for them. Migration operations, updates, backups, logs and health, scale and support. So essentially everything which comes from the updates, we don't have the need except for the software that we provide to take care of. That has positives and downsides. Positive is we don't have to take care of OpenSSL having, big issue. Because we know the community at SUSE is just awesome and fast, and when something comes up, people care, right? And even people of us, as I mentioned before. But it's not the necessity. You're not, that's not our business focus. Our business focus is we're providing this business application. And we can put it on the foundation of SUSE, which is a very, very solid one. And we receive these updates, and our customers, therefore, as well, for free. Now, you could say, well, our customers could use SUSE Linux Enterprise Server as well. Absolutely. We do have customers that run SLES. And we do provide the repositories and everything. But to have this turnkey out-of-the-box experience, we do have to do it with OpenSUSE in that manner. So, yeah, the cool thing is this type of standardization that we do, that we don't just run any arbitrary kind of, you know, handcrafted some environment. It's good operatable. It's well documented. People can approach it. It just works. And yeah, let's be honest, the hard work is often the stupid stuff, right? Oh, I have to make sure that the defaults are sane, the upgrades are running, that backups are done, logs checking, you know, whether you have a gray log or whatever to check and search through your mails or your mail logs. That's just a lot of work, and you want to do something that's quite integrated. That's why we have admin. This is a very carefully bonded system, as you can see. So we have our deployment targets. We have ESO. ESO is Kiwi. That's the VM image that we have, the VMDK. We also have built with Kiwi with some extras, because the VMX builder, let's face it, is not the best. But we did some additions, which just work perfectly. Yeah, bare metal, private cloud, and hosting partners, they also use our raw image. And the raw image is quite cool, so it's easy deployable. And we have SUSE Leap underneath. We have the whole stack of PostFix Nginx, so we didn't reinvent the wheel or anything. Then there comes on top our stack, and from there on, any client you like to, whether it is web, Outlook, Thunderbird. You give your users choice on a solid foundation. So what do we have? OS base, package model, build ecosystem, I already mentioned all that. Reproducibility, also mentioned. So we have a full traceability. How was it built? We didn't go so far yet from a security concern that we provide the build logs for the image build, but it is very easily, you know, in the image there is a part of where you can easily see what has been included. Repeatability, absolutely. We can rebuild every individual version. And of course, supportability, because we want to maintain the platform and not, we want to maintain the application and not the platform necessarily. Yeah, OBS is the factory floor. Here we have our inputs. We have a dedicated OBS instance. And this dedicated OBS instance we can see here. It's build.grimoire.com. You see literally 24/7 that we're building. We have all the major platforms. We have x86-64, obviously. We have PPC for PowerPC. We have S390X for the mainframe customers. We have even ARM64 and RISC. So we have a multi-build target. And that's something where you can just say, guys, give yourself a big clap on the back. OBS is just pure awesomeness. Anti-integration with Kiwi. Absolutely. You can see our channels here. So we have our Grimoire community, as I mentioned. We have the supported, and we have the devil. And that's how we build our stuff with dependency chains, everything well covered with RPM spec. This is how the Kiwi package in very, very basic looks like, right? You just define your image. We have the OEM image type, which is our default, because that's basically the target where everything goes away from. You can use ESO, you can use raw image. Raw image you can just flash via DD or DD rescue or whatever imager you like. You define the packages that we provide through our repositories, so they're interlinked. And that's how we basically build everything. We obviously make some standard changes. For example, Grimoire's UI, really that welcomes you directly after the boot and tells you, hey, you want to change your password? Possibly, right? So one source of truth, multiple installation outputs. Makes it reproducible, makes it supportable, and makes it maintainable. And let's face it, we have tens of thousands of installations around the world now. If we wouldn't have this platform, we couldn't do that. First boot is part of the product. We boot the image. We have the setup wizard. We do the config. Admin logs in, clients access. Simple, but it's only simple because all of this complicated software does this orchestrated work behind it. So, yeah, that's where sovereignty gets real. Make the updates. That's where SUSE comes in, first and last. If it wouldn't be a great, all-around solution, we couldn't make all this happen, right? We would have to reinvent everything on our own. That would not make any sense, because we wouldn't go nowhere, right? And other platforms also, I mean, we do know the other world, and we do provide, for example, for Debian, and I'm not shitting on Debian, don't get me wrong. We do have a lot of very valid, and we support Debian throughout everything, but that means that they have a little bit more of lifting to do, upfront lifting. Yeah, existing world to the sovereign world, we have the protocols, you have to build systems and a platform, and that's about it. Last 10% is a product. I'm already over time, sorry. Yeah. For everyone who's online, if you have more questions, let me know. I took a little while because I, you know, just skipped some stuff. But everything that I said is already here. OpenSUSE OBS Kiwi Gromania. That's the end product that we run on the solid foundation. Thank you very much. And I'm open for questions if any are.
So because of time constraints, we can take one or two questions, if there are any.
You showed that you have email and calendars. These days, you also have collaborative working on documents, like
right.
On spreadsheets. And I have not seen your preferred solution to that. Obviously, it's no big deal once you're running Kiwi to throw in LibreOffice along into the image, but
yeah.
Which solution would you prefer for collaboration?
We do have Gromania Office, and Gromania Office is currently based on OnlyOffice. Currently means that there's not a final decision on which path we're choosing. As you might have known, there was quite some friction and specialty about what has happened in the office space generally. Document Foundation now starts to go in the online office world, which we very welcome, to be honest. My past, I can tell you, I've been involved that long time ago with people like Michael Meeks from Collabora and stuff. So we want to stay open in that regard, but we are tending towards things that just work well. That's our critical point, because especially in the office world, we don't think that we could, you know, take this heavy load weight all yet. But I can tell you that we, behind the scenes, we have made some contributions into your office. It's a good project, and I think it's going the right way. Okay, time's up. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I'll be around. Just ask me, hit me. Thank you.